So over the past few days, I've been trawling various news sites, and two stories have been quite prominent. The first was the fact that it appears as if the e-toll operators are looking to recoup the monies owed. That's the first story. The second one was an absolute collapse of the when it comes to issuing driver's licenses. Apparently something like 500,000 backlog. That's the number. And I thought we need to get to the bottom of both those stories. The person to talk to do that is Wayne Duvenage, the CEO of OUTA, the Organization for Undoing Tax Abuse. Wayne, thanks for sharing your time with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Yeah, nice to be with you, Simon, and your listeners.
So, Wayne, just before we even begin, OUTA, Organization Undoing Tax Abuse, I mean, it's evolved to something way more than that. In my mind, I think of it as a citizens' rights organization. How would you characterize OUTA?
Yeah, it is. It's tackling government maladministration and corrupt use of taxpayers' money, abuse of power across the board. So, yeah, it's mainly along those lines. And I think as we fight corruption and as we tackle all these issues, human rights become more tangible because money flows to service delivery. So, yeah, we tackle matters where we get a lot of information from whistleblowers and we go head on into the matter of holding people to account.
Okay, thanks for that, because I wasn't 100% sure. So this issue of outstanding toll fees collection, I don't know why, and I naively thought that this whole issue of toll fees had been put to bed, it was a non-issue, and that we didn't need to worry about it anymore. It seems like I was perhaps a little premature.
Well, it is pretty much over. And the scheme was dead in the water after 6 months of operating when the compliance rates peaked at 40% and they declined ever since then. Wow. And what happened was in 2019, between 2016 and 2019, SANRAL went on a very, very coercive, litigious process to start summonsing thousands of motorists who didn't pay. And we said to the public, we'd defend them if they gave us the mandate and if we had the funds to do so. And over 2,000 motorists gave us the mandate, and we responded to every single one of them to SANRAL summonses. And then in March 2019, they stopped. They stopped summonsing. I think they got a tap on the shoulder from the president at the time, Ramaphosa, who was going into the 2019 elections, and said to SANRAL, this is not good for elections. Sure. And a lawfare strategy against your people just isn't the right
no.
thing to do.
No, not in an election year, no.
Well, not in any year, but it was worse then. And so what happened was that they stopped summonsing. But meanwhile, we were a long way down the road of preparing litigation to defend these matters through a test case scenario, because you can imagine the courts being clogged with 2,000 plus matters, and we'd agreed with the judge president or the deputy judge president that we're happy to follow the suggestion of a test case. And then SANRAL just disappeared. They stopped summonsing and left these cases in limbo. And we've said to SANRAL on a number of occasions, you have to withdraw them. You can't leave these 2,000 motorists with this matter hanging in the air. Imagine I sued you and you went to your lawyers, you prepared your defense, you spent money, and you filed your papers to defend yourself, and then I just disappear or do nothing.
It's an abuse of a court process. No, that's not okay. That's really not okay. Yeah.
Exactly. So we've said to SANRAL on a number of occasions, what do you want to do about this? If you want, we can settle. We can go to court, get a court agreement that the cases are now withdrawn, and you need to just – and we'll agree on settling our costs, because if you do that, you've got to settle our costs. And they've just ignored this whole process. So now we've had to go to court to compel them and to get a court order that says they've abandoned their cases and it needs to be treated as an abandonment or they must proceed. And so that's where we are right now. We thought that they would reach out and say, look, let's meet, because we did write a letter to the minister and SANRAL saying, look, we have to go this route. You've left us with no option, but we're still willing to sit down and meet around the table and settle out of court. But their arrogance prevails. They've indicated they're going to defend this matter. Well, this is going to be very interesting.
But why? For what possible reason?
We cannot understand.
How much money is involved, Wayne? I mean, is it a significant amount of money that's going to...
No. For us, you know, we've calculated that the costs incurred that they should be settling is 12 million rand.
Oh,
they are They're a 15 billion rand organization per annum. They spend half a billion rand every year on just marketing and advertising costs. You know, so this is a small amount, but I guess I don't know. But it is just a symptom of an organization that is absolutely arrogant and has happy to waste taxpayers'
money. Or just complete and utter lack of accountability. I mean, I remember in my previous life in corporate when we had to take judgment against government bodies, they just didn't care. They just didn't care up until such time as we would take judgment and go in and execute and literally lift up the computers and the tables and the chairs. It was at that point that they were prepared to talk to you and settle. But other than that,
it
was
crazy,
talking to a wall, talking to a dead wall. Just an abusive process. I'm getting quite hot under the collar talking to you about this.
It's such a stupid waste of time.
That's what it is. A stupid waste of time.
Is.
Yours
it
as
is.
Well.
All right. We want to ask the judge to have personal costs against the CEO and the minister in a case like this.
Now you're talking.
Because this is abuse of power, and they know it. And if they want to fight this, they must know that this is litigation unnecessarily, and they must pick up the costs.
And
that might change.
Yeah, that sounds to me like that would be effective. I'm just thinking back to personal cost orders against the public prosecutor at the time. I think it was Mkhubani. Those things, they seem to make a difference. They seem to motivate people to do what it is they're supposed to do. It sounds like you've got to adopt the same tactics in respect of the licensing department. What's the story there? And what I read about a backlog of 750,000 a couple of months ago, could that possibly be true?
Yeah, it is. The old machine has broken down. There's a backlog since the beginning of the year. They're trying to work through it, but this is a really old machine that breaks down very often, doesn't have high productivity. So they're going to take some time to work through that. I don't know where they are. They haven't put out any statements lately as to how many are still outstanding.
500,000 is what I read.
Yeah, I think it's about 500,000.
Taking it down.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, you spoke about the machine. Are you for real? Is there a single printing machine?
There's one machine, and it's being held together by elastic bands and sellotape. It really is old, and it's broken down a number of times. So they've, you know, a new machine, by the way, was supposed to have been procured with all the new security features in that. Probably about 7 years ago, they've been through three tenders, all of them manipulated. One French company won the tender. We got wind of the abusive process that it went through. We supplied the minister with that information and the auditor general. Unfortunately, they stopped it, the award. But you know, it sets things back. We still don't have a new machine, and you know, it's just so crazy. We've asked the minister to consider moving the renewal dates out by another 5 years to 10 years. They're looking at it. They think they're going to go 8 years. That will help. That'll help that you don't have to renew as much as you do. But again, things just take so long, and there's just so much waste of time when it comes
but
to
But more than
process.
That, because you're criminalizing your population in the interim period.
Yeah.
You're encouraging
you
civil disobedience. That's what you're doing.
Exactly. But you and I have to go and spend time and money and get a temporary license. And so we've written to the minister to say, look, during this period, can you just instruct the law enforcement agencies that a license that has expired in the last year should not be deemed if somebody can prove that they've applied and there's 100%. Their, you know, that they don't have to go and get a temporary license. And they make more money out of that, by the way. So it's, but we just get no response, like engaging with the wall, as you say.
I don't want to make it too political, but it just crosses my mind. You know, the ANC took a bit of a beating in the last election. It's quite something to fall from well over 50% to under 40%. That would make you wake up and take notice and mend your ways, you know, become more efficient, do things better. Have you seen any indication of an improvement in delivery of the kinds of services we're talking about in any sphere?
Well, very little. In the DA-run structures, we are seeing, as you know, at Home Affairs, far more efficiency coming into play. We're seeing, and I'm not punting the DA, but I think Ramaphosa said it himself.
He did.
DA-run institutions are better than the ANC, and that goes for local government and government departments. So, in those few government departments, we're seeing traction, and we're also seeing in one or two other departments where the ANC is also doors opening to engage with us, but not enough. I mean, the amount of corruption, for instance, in higher education and the CETAs that we've uncovered, there's so much to be done. And the new board should have been appointed in March. It's now nearly October. I haven't got chairpersons assigned, so the CEOs who are running those organizations are the de facto board, no oversight, plundering away right now. So we've still got a long way to go, a lot of work to do, but there are some green shoots and some signs that things are going to turn. And we hope that this Madlunga Commission is going to start to address the real rot, which is in the criminal justice system, which needs urgent fixing.
I'm going to leave it there this afternoon, Wayne Duvenage. I'm also going to keep you on speed dial because, boy, this was an interesting conversation. Thank you
Sure.
for your time on High
Great.
FM this afternoon.
Anytime, Simon. Take it easy. Bye.